greet you in the name of Christ, fellow mantle carriers. It's wonderful. Been a wonderful time of just meeting God. I have been thinking about heaven. I wonder if this is maybe a little bit how it will be. We'll just have continual meetings of further revelation and further understanding of the great God. It's beautiful. Been beautiful. I bless the Lord that He has allowed us this grace to be together. I know we have an enemy, and I know that the enemy is real. The enemy has manifested itself in a number of ways since we're here. I appreciate your prayers and how you've been praying. You probably didn't understand last night. Prior to my coming here, my son, that's just young Mary, just destroyed his pickup in an accident. And just before that, a brother in the church got the word from his doctor that he has thyroid cancer. A young family, the children are crying. They don't know what's going to happen with daddy. And so those are some of the dark night of the soul that we're going to be looking at tonight, the dark night of the soul. Another brother was hurt at work. But you know what? We're not discouraged. We're on the victory side. You know, that was a confirmation. My son, who had that happen to him, he said he's been really praying for these meetings. He has had some special praying going on for these meetings. And he said, if that can help one of these pastors, if this battle that we're in, and the victory that has been won here, and we've been seeing victory ever since we've been here, there's been tears and crying and repenting and changing. He said, I'm willing to sacrifice my $18,000 pickup for the sake of one of the pastors. And may that be how we feel tonight. We're on the victory side. Would you stand with me as we pray? Oh, Father in heaven, we come to You again this evening. We know, oh Lord, that You are the God of light. You're the God of light. You're the one that has given us light. You're the one that illuminates our path. Oh, Lord, we pray this evening that You would continue to speak to our hearts. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for who You are. You've been such a gracious Lord. You've been so kind to us. You've been showing us so many truths, Lord. And You've revealed Yourself in such clear ways, Lord. And we just, Lord, this evening, we just come bowing at Your feet. We crumble at Your feet like Mary. And Lord, we just weep before You as we look at our own hearts and our own lives and all the issues and struggles that we face at times. And Lord, this evening, I would ask that Your Holy Spirit would minister to us and that You would allow us to see, Lord, what is going on at times in our life that we don't understand. I pray, O God in heaven, that You would be the Jehovah Jireh this evening. Be the one that helps us. Be the one that comes to us. And Lord, I just pray that You would give us a word from Your throne this evening. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be an echo. I pray that You would help me to be a voice, Lord, from the burden of God, Lord Jesus. I pray for courage for these brothers. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for how that You have given some of them courage. And there may be some here that are still discouraged. And I pray, O God, that You would just lift us up. And Lord, tonight, would You just meet us here? We've come into Your presence. And Lord, we are here. We wait on You and we thank You that You will speak to us. Oh God, You know the message that You've been burning on my heart long before I came here and I didn't understand it. But Lord, You've been revealing it more and more as I'm here. And Lord Jesus, some of Your children here are tired. Some of Your children are struggling. God, Your servants are tired and overloaded at times. And God, I pray tonight, give us a word from Your throne. Lord Jesus, You understand all this. You were a human, took on human flesh at one time. You understand how that we get tired at times. And Lord Jesus, would You help us tonight? Bless the Word of God tonight, Lord, and speak to us in a mighty way. We're committed to You. We ask that You would bind wicked spirits, demons and devils. Throw them outside. Keep them outside. Don't let them be here. And Lord, I pray that no hindering spirit would be here. I pray for physical strength, Lord, for my body. I pray, oh God, you know the infirmity that I've experienced here. And I pray, God in heaven, that you would take that away and don't allow that to be a hindrance, Lord. We just commit it to you and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to have victory here tonight. And we bless you and we thank you. Cover us under your blood and our families and our churches at home. And Lord, everything we have our own, we give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message that God has been burdening me with is The Dark Night of the Soul. I have been noticing some of your tears. I've been noticing some of your real deep heart feelings here. But I don't know your life. And few people allow us to know the dark valleys and the cloudy days that we go through. And many of us don't understand what is really happening. And sometimes we lose our way in those times. You know, every Christian loves the day, but spends time in the night. There's nights for us. If you would turn with me to Psalms 137, I want to look at a scripture here. The dark night of the soul. God's people have just been taken captive. And they're now in Babylon. They're in the dark, in darkness. Their securities had left them. And they're finding themselves in a strange valley. It's a valley they've never been in. It's a place they've never seen before. And they are in this valley. And they find it difficult. They're looking around and they're trying to find their God again. Verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Verse 4, let's read verse 3. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I don't know how many of you have been in this dark valley, the dark night of your soul. When you know you should be singing, but you have no song. You have no song. There's no song anymore. Because this valley is dark. This is a dark time for you. You know, in the night, it is darkness. In nights, it's dark. There are strange sounds in the night. There is fear in the night often because we don't understand. We can't see. We can't look far. Here they were, sing us a song. You know, when a person is in a dark night of the soul, we sometimes want to say, rise up, take courage. I want to do that to you tonight. However, I know and I understand some of these valleys are so dark and there's such a darkness there. It's such a horrid position to be in that even the ones that come with all their, in their sanguine way and they tell us, rise up. And just love the Lord and bless the Lord. But you know what? We can't even find how to bless the Lord. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's an attack from the spirit of discouragement. God's children have a lot of pain. God's children will have a lot of pain. But as I read in Revelations, it says there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more tears. Here we have those tears. Here we have that crying. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher that led multitudes to Christ, through powerful preaching, suffered awful moments of the dark night. He often felt like he accomplished nothing in life, and yet he brought multitudes to Christ. He once lamented, "I've got the blackest heart in Great Britain." And yet he was a man that was mightily used by God. Frequently he'd go into his garden, raise his hands and cry out to God, "Lord, I've never desired you more, and yet my spirit is so low. I love God, but I can't find Him. Somehow He's just not there. I opened my heart to Him, but my beloved is gone." That's the dark night of the soul. What's happening? A number of people have caught me in the past years and year. I remember one person caught me. I didn't know this person. When he called me, my family said, "There's someone on the phone for you." And I got the phone and I said, "Hello." "Hello." There was no answer. And all of a sudden, I just heard a burst of crying and sobbing. He couldn't control himself, and I didn't know, still didn't know who it was. But you know what? And then finally he could talk, and he was in the dark night of his soul. It was a dark night for him. Had a ministering brother sent me an email. This is what he said, "Paul, please pray for me. I'm going through a major struggle right now. I have just lost a real battle. It looks like everything I have wanted for the church and for my family is falling apart. I have to give up. I don't know that I have ever been so discouraged." The dark night of the soul. What is happening? What is happening? We had an evangelist in our church some time ago. And I noticed this man was such an anointed, powerful leader. Had a tremendous message. I would spend mornings with him praying. We would gather there at the church. And there we would on the steps, we would pour our hearts out every morning. And I noticed this power that was coming from his life. I noticed something. Such a humility. Such a movement of God coming from him. Such an anointing. And I wondered. And one morning, he told me this story. He said, and he was from a distant state. I didn't know him well. And he said, "Let me share my heart with you." I asked him, "What brings you into such power, into such anointing?" And then he told me this story. He said, "I was in the church." He's the leader. He's a bishop of a church. He said, "We were having a lot of church problems. And there was a lot of brethren that didn't like where I was trying to take the church and what I was preaching. And they came to me at numerous times and told me that they don't appreciate how things are going." He said, "We had brethren meetings. We sat together." And he said, "It looked like there was no way out. We just couldn't get to unity. I didn't know where to go." And he said, "Finally I decided, you know, after trying and trying and trying and trying," he said, "finally I decided there is no way out for me." He said, "I may as well end my life and get myself out of this situation." And he started thinking about suicide. He thought about it. And the more he thought about it, he said, "It was a big black hole that I saw. When I looked at my ministry, when I looked at my life, I looked at my church, I didn't see any way out." And he said, "I finally decided that's the only way out. Had a nice family of many children, maybe 8-10 children. Nice, beautiful wife." And he said, "I decided I'm going to end my life. But he said, I'm going to preach one more time. And he said, Sunday came and I went to church. And I knew that this was going to be the last message I will ever preach. Because that Sunday afternoon, I'm going to take my life. There is no way. I could not see any. He told me there was no light in my tunnel. There was just no way out. I tried all I could. I tried everything I could. There is only one way out, and that is to end it all. His night was very, very dark. He went to church. He preached the message. He went home. They had their family together. They had their meal. In his mind, he knew, my family, this is my last meal with you. But they didn't know anything. After they ate, he went into the bedroom. He lay on the bed and he started weeping. He knew what he was going to do to his wife. He knew what he was going to do to his children. But there was no other way out. It's the only way out. He said, I lay there and I wept and I wept and I wept. Finally, my wife came in and she lay beside me and she said, honey, what is wrong? But he just wept. He wouldn't tell her. And as they lay there, both weeping, he was ready to go out, hang himself. The phone rang. They got the phone. She went to get the phone. He was within a half hour of taking his life. And there was someone on the phone. It was a brother from the church. She came in and gave this to him and said, this brother wants to talk to you. And this brother said, brother, I just wanted to call you and tell you that I appreciate you. I'm praying for you. I know you're going through difficult things. But I'm praying that God would help you. And he said, you know, I saw just a little bit of light in my tunnel again. But I didn't know how I could get out. But you know, he said, from that moment on, I decided maybe God has something yet for me. He told his wife, he told his family what he was going to do, and they cried and they wept. But you know, that brother came through that dark night of the soul when he didn't understand what was happening. He didn't know why he was there. He didn't know how to get out. And he didn't know what took him in, but he was there. But through that horrid experience, God was able to take him through there. And he came out a beautiful child of God, an anointed man of God that God can use. And my friends tonight, my brothers, my dear brothers, I want this message to be an encouragement to you. Some of you are going through that dark valley. You look at your church situation. You look at that situation in your life. And really, you wonder, is there any hope for me? Will this church survive? Will we ever get out of this? Is this my lot? Will I always have church problems? Will there always be this struggle in my ministry? That brother just told me he doesn't care for me. That person has been giving me the cold shoulder. And you know, it is taking us into dark valleys of our soul. Don't go down. Rise up. God is trying to change you. God is trying to put His anointing upon you. But God will not bring His anointing upon an unclean vessel. It needs to be clean. It needs to be so clean that it can bear the vessels of the Lord, that it can carry the pure, holy gospel of Christ. God, what are you doing? Sometimes we don't know what He's doing. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 38. There are few people that allow us to look into their lives like this ministering brother did. He shared this with me in a very private, sacred way. And I know if he would be sitting here tonight, he would be sitting there crying. I know he would be weeping. It was so close that this dark night of the soul discouraged his heart to the point where he lost his soul. But God brought him back. Oh, the power of love from a brother. I want to be that brother to you tonight. I want to speak into your dark valley. You know, as we get older, some of us that are getting older, somehow it seems we have burdens and fire in our bosom. And you know, it seems I have sat with some old brethren. I have had the privilege to be in a church and co-pastor with three older leaders. And they were wonderful men of God, used mightily by God. One, I remember hearing the story of the one that started a revival meeting and it went for 3 weeks straight. Men coming to Christ, many people found the Lord. And there he sat and he was weeping and he was saying, I don't know why I'm here anymore. It seems like there's no value for me. The dark night of the soul, that brother has now gone on to the land of light. But oh, there's dangerous moments in our life. When God allows us to go down into the deep, deep, horrid, dark corners. And we wonder, why am I here? How did I get here? And how will I ever get out of here? Here is a man, Psalm 38, that allows us to see a little bit. David. Let's look at his life. Psalm 38, verse 6. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Verse 8. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Verse 10. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. David is saying, I've lost spiritual understanding. The light of my eyes is gone. I used to be able to see the revelation of Jesus Christ so clear. It used to be so clear. I had a passion, but somehow that left me. The light of my eyes has left me. My vision and revelation of the Lord have left me. I can't reach God as I did. That's what David is saying. Remember, David is a man of God. Isn't he the man after God's own heart? Are you a man after God's own heart tonight? I believe many of us are. We're a man after God's heart, but look at where God allowed him to go. But brothers, there's a reason that we go there. There's a reason that God takes us there. The power of God can only be manifested through the broken and the contrite heart. And you know, it takes something harder than I am to break me. I wondered, God, I told God many times, God, why am I so hard? Why did it take two daughters that were sick and cried 119 hours straight to break my heart and bring me down? Why am I so hard? Why is the valley so deep? Why is the cloud over me? It hangs over me. I can't get rid of that cloud. Do you know what I'm talking about, brethren? Sometimes there's clouds that hang over us. And we wonder, when will that feeling leave me? When will that melancholy leave me? When will it ever leave my soul? Why has it come and why does it stay? And when will it leave? And sometimes it comes and stays for weeks and months. I had an experience one time where it was a whole winter. I cried before God. No one knows the horror of my condition. I still had to preach. I still had to get up to preach. But you know, there were times when I would have rather just wept and wept and wept. How do I get this God back? I looked at my life. I thought, what sin did I commit? Something must be terribly wrong with me. God, did I blaspheme your Holy Spirit? Where are you, O Comforter? Night after night, there I slept. Slept short nights, woke up, got on my knees, cried out to God. Finally fell asleep again, went back to bed. But you know what? Those are dark, dark moments of our life. Why does God allow us to go through there? It seems like He has actually left me. Do you know what I'm talking about, brothers? You know what? When I had my little boy, my little son, I tried to teach him how to walk. I took my son. He took hold of my hand and I walked with him. We just walked slow. And he would stumble and I would help him. And then finally the day came when I backed off. And I let him stand there. And he would fall and I'd pick him up again. And then the time came when he started hobbling away from me. I let go of him. You know, I think sometimes our Heavenly Father, He loves to hold our hand, but there's times when He wants us to see how are we going to walk if He allows us to just walk by ourselves. Are we really going to walk His way? Or are we going to stumble and fall? There's times in our life when God wants us to walk alone. I don't understand that part of God. One thing I do understand, that it is through those experiences that we go deep with God. That's where we find Him. Let's continue looking at David, the man after God's own heart. Verse 13. But I, as a deaf man, heard not. I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth there are no reproofs. This heavy, demonic spirit laid David so low, he was dumbfounded. He didn't understand what was going on. David is saying, I am too down and discouraged. I can't pray. I'm too confused to speak. I'm drained. I'm empty. I have nothing to say. I'm like a dumb man. I have no voice. Because I don't know where I'm at. Chapter 40, verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed about me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. David is saying, I'm not able to look up anymore. There is nothing to look up. Why would a man after God's heart have this kind of experience? Chapter 42, verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Now all of a sudden it looks like my God left me. It looks like I can't find my God anymore. And they're saying, yeah, well, where are you? You're the one that knows God. You've been preaching about God. You know God. Where is your God? And you know, we wonder ourselves. Where is He? Where is He? And then David gives us some beautiful words. There He is. There He is. He's lying there. He's struggling. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou discouraged in me? Hope thou in God. Hope in God. Verse 9. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou discouraged, disquieted within me? Hope in God. Chapter 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down? David is speaking to his soul. Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted? Why are you discouraged? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. All of a sudden, he comes out of his darkness and he's saying, I'm going to praise Him again. I see a little light. I just saw darkness, but I see light again. See light again. Take courage tonight. Hope in God. Your situation is hopeless, but not with God. Hope in God. Don't hope in your abilities. Don't hope in what you can do. Don't hope in your position. Hope in God. It brings us out. It starts the journey back away from the dark night of my soul. Hudson Taylor, a great servant of God in China. In the 1900s, there was the Boxer Rebellion where hundreds of missionaries were killed. They had tried to kill and destroy all the missionaries, the foreign missionaries. Hudson Taylor was emotionally devastated. His health began to fail. Nearing the end of his journey, he wrote, "I am so weak, I cannot work. I cannot read my Bible. I cannot even pray. I can only lie still in God's arms as a child and trust." Some of the most useful servants of God in history past have had dark journeys in their life. But God can use. God will reduce until He can use. And sometimes it takes that kind of a journey to reduce us until He can use us. There He lay. My own experience. You're looking at a man that knows what it is to go through the dark night of the soul. This message was not born out of intellect. This message was not born because of knowledge. This message was born because of a deep, deep dark nights in my own heart that allowed me to get a hold of a beautiful lily in my dark valley. You can smell God on the mountain, but you will never know God until you've been in the valley and you smell the beautiful lily in the valley. It's a different smell. It's a beautiful aroma coming from that. Everything is so dark and then you smell something. I went through a deep, dark valley some years ago. Where brethren in a different church moved against me. Some of my own brethren. I was blamed for something that I knew wasn't true. But you know, some of the deepest challenges of our life, of the child of God, is when we are right, but we cannot say anything. We cannot say anything. I wanted to expose that brother. I wanted to tell others who he is and how wrong he is and where the truth is. And God arrested me, and this is what He said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And I had to shut up and be quiet and stand in the judgment hall of men as they beat me and did all those things that Jesus did. And all I could do was stand there and just look at them. I came home one night, one evening. It was very difficult. I would go down the road and there comes a brother, one that I was baptized with in the same group. And I would wave at him, but he looked the other way. Oh, the pain of rejection. Who am I? Why am I like that? Am I wrong? I searched my heart. I went into that dark night. I came home. And I remember that evening when I came home, I went over to the sofa and I sat down. And on the coffee table in front of me lay my Bible. And I sat down there and I was literally shaking all over. I had a very difficult day. And I wondered, I remember saying to myself, I wonder if this is how it is just before you have a nervous breakdown. I sat there shaking all over. Rejected by man. Trying to find God. There I was. Didn't know where to go. Didn't know what to do. And I looked down and there lay my Bible and it was laying open. And I opened the Bible and I looked at it, picked it up. And my eyes fell to this verse in Daniel 4. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." God showed me, if my children have to go through the fire, I will go with them. I'll be there. My dear brothers tonight, if you're in the fire, look for your God. You're not alone. There's someone else in there with you. Someone is with us. And He looks like the Son of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know, that day, in my dark night, in my darkness, in my dark valley, I reached for the Word of God and it opened up to me. And it said, "In your fire is your God. And He will be with you and He will go with you and you will have no hurt." Oh, it was hurting deeply. But you know what? As I went through that experience, I remember telling the Lord, "I'm sorry, Lord. I will never be able to have another devotions in front of those brethren. I will never be able to work in Your kingdom anymore because of what they're saying about me. And God, You know it's not true. But I can't say anything." One of the hardest things for us to do, brothers and brothers, is to go into the judgment hall. The Garden of Gethsemane, which all of you must journey through. I wonder where you're at in your journey, in your ministry. But let me tell you something. All the way from your beginning of your life, from your Garden of Eden, you need to travel. And when you get, in order to have ministry in your life, you need to go through Gethsemane. It's in Gethsemane where your will breaks. That's where we become broken. Jesus was broken there. But then after that, what is not broken is going to be burnt out of your life at the judgment hall. He still had His friends He was going back to. But at the judgment hall, your friends are against you. You're by yourself. You need your Calvary and your tomb. But after that comes a beautiful resurrection. Power in your ministry. Power in your life. But it doesn't come unless it goes through that process. The dark night of the soul. Oh, God will help us. In this darkness, many saints lose their way and they become discouraged. And my word to you this evening, I'm planning to leave after the service tonight. And dear brothers, it has been wonderful to be with you. And I want you to go home with courage. No matter what you face, remember there's always hope for you. When your hope is in God and your situation, don't be discouraged. Discouragement. I don't know if you're passing through a time when you're tired of body, sick of heart, burned out, preached out, prayed out, just tired. We're one of God's tired children. Difficult to focus on biblical promises. Hard to pray through. Don't write yourself off as a spiritual failure. This is the journey. God reduces His children until He can use them. You are joining David and Elijah and Hudson Taylor and a host of other saints that have gone through this same journey. You're not alone. Others have been through here. Oh, one of the things that happens in this dark night of the soul is loneliness. We can be very lonely in the midst of many people. I don't know if there's any of you here today, tonight, that are somewhere deep in your heart, there's a loneliness. You've enjoyed all this, but you're lonely. There's a loneliness in your heart. Some of the most lonely people are the servants of the Most High God. extremely flamboyant outside, but internally lonely. If you have any depth in your spiritual journey, you understand this horrid position. You know what I'm talking about. It's a heart-wrenching feeling of loneliness, but the purpose of loneliness. You know, our deepest battles are fought and won alone. The deepest battles in my own heart have been fought alone. Jesus died alone. Can anyone tell me, was there light or darkness when Jesus died? It was dark. There on that hill, He cried out, "My God, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" Up until now, He had always had that healing relationship to go back to the Father. The world rejected Him. His own, He came unto His own. His own received Him not. There was a rejection, a rejection, a rejection. And I know many of us, there's people that do not appreciate the journeys that we've taken in our life. And we're rejected. People don't like us. But you know what? What about Jesus? Did everyone love Jesus? No. Why do we have to go through these lonely times? You know, there's times when our experience is too sacred to let anyone look in. If our highest experience with the Lord is in the church, then we have not learned what it is to be alone with God. All alone, back there behind the bush, back there out by the woods, back in the haymow, out there somewhere where I go. Brothers, we all need a spot. Do you know where that spot is in your life? We all need a place where we go. It's our holy place. It's where we go and we pour out our hearts. But there we find healing. Loneliness. Oh, it's a difficult time. But God can speak when we're lonely. You know what we do sometimes? When this comes upon us, when we're in this dark night of the soul, we run for a CD and we put the CD in and we listen to the music. Or we listen to, you know, that's what Saul did when the Spirit of God left him. He went for music. He wanted music to somehow soothe him. Brothers, don't go for the CDs. Don't pick up the cell phone and call that person. There is a friend that is closer than a brother. And he's the one that can help you. He's the one that understands that loneliness. He went through all that himself. He journeyed there himself. It's a deep darkness. But if we go through, there's going to be beautiful ministry and light and life and anointing at the other end. If we allow that to do its work in our hearts. In loneliness, our hearts change. See, God allows loneliness to bring desperation to us. We become desperate. When you're alone, you're desperate. God, I need You. And when we cry out to God and we weep before God and we fast before God, you know what? God is going to show up. And He's going to be there and you can set your hope in Him and He'll help you. Oh, the lonely man is not a haughty man. The lonely man is becoming a broken man. That it's a process. Let me share a couple things with you. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 84. Beginning to read in verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and rain that the rain also filleth the pools. This valley of Baca is a valley. The word Baca means weeping or loneliness. When you go into the valley of loneliness, you go into this valley of weeping. It's in this valley. It's the dark night of the soul, but what do we do when we're there? The Word of God tells us what we should do. When you're in your valley, dig a well. Dig a well. When you dig a well and let water flow from your valley. You know, there are souls in our churches that need to come. You know, there's some water that you can get in the mountain, but there's a different water that you get in the valley. And in the valley of weeping, turn your valley into the valley of Baca. Turn that valley of weeping and loneliness into a spring. What does it say here? Make it a well. What does a well do? It brings endless water. It brings water out. And you know what? Your brothers can come. And your sisters can come. And your wife and your children can come. And you know, the world can come and drink from a fresh spring that we can only find in the valley. Turn that experience into a well. It can be beautiful. You know what? I have heard some of you, the speakers here, Brother Leonard. I wonder how that brother would have preached 6 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't know. I never knew him. Still don't really know him. How have you been preaching? How is your message? But when you have been through this valley and you know what it is to dig a well in the valley, you're going to find a different message. It's going to be different. It's going to flow from your life. You know, if God could only, let me say it this way, if you would only allow God to take you into the dark night, God could do a tremendous work in your ministry and church. But, oh, you know what? I don't like that valley. I don't like the dark night of the soul. It's such a horrid experience. It's such a demoralizing time. We start questioning ourselves. We lose our assurance, it seems. And we struggle just like David. Where are you, God? When you endure such times, lie still as a child. Don't make moves. Just wait. Just wait. Just pray. Spend time with the man that knows what you're going through. The man that has been through himself. Lie still in the arms of your loving Father. You know what? We think we have to do something. We're men that are conquerors. And we get into these valleys and you know what? We can't do anything. We're stripped. We lose our control. We're men that like control. But you know what? We lose all control in that valley. We don't even know where we're at. At times with God, He's so silent. You know, a comforting father doesn't expect speeches from his child. Neither does God. God doesn't expect that you'll have a lot to say. There's times when I just knelt before God in those valleys, and you know what? I didn't have anything to say. I just wept. I was finished. He knows we need His soothing care. His mercy will hold us. When my foot slippeth, Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up, David said. My foot is slipping. I'm slipping. But you know what? God's mercy held us. That's why we're here today. You know, it's very crippling, this spirit of discouragement. It has crippled and disabled many beautiful saints. The dark kingdom has interest to work on the saints and to wear them out. Daniel, we read about it. Discouragement. Let me tell you something about discouragement just briefly here. You know, sometimes we don't understand discouragement. Let me ask you this question. When we lie, it is easy for us to say that it is sin, right? When we commit adultery, it is sin. When we steal, it is sin. But what is it when we are discouraged? It's my situation. You know what? It's sin. It's never right to be discouraged. It's always sin. And if you don't label it as sin, then how can God deal with it and forgive it? And how can you be delivered from it? You know, that was a truth that really helped me. When I saw that discouragement is actually sin, it's not my situation. There is hardly a weapon more effective. Discouragement removes the spiritual protection from your life. It can become a stronghold in your life to where Satan gets a door where he can come in and take you into a place where you never want to go, and you'll probably never come out if you let him take you there. Two things wrong about discouragement. One is that discouragement is sin. Number two, it's a problem of the heart. That's where the problem. It's not my situation. It's not what is happening to me that is the problem. It's the way I look at my situation. I look at my situation wrong. Could it be that what you are facing when you walk out of here tomorrow or whenever you leave and you go home, you are on a wonderful spiritual cloud? It's a beautiful experience here. But you know, you're going to meet reality. And you know what you're going to face? Look at that situation from God's point of view. How does God look at that? God, we need to be able to see the problem and the solution from God's point of view. And that will help us through. You know, whenever we accept what is wrong to be okay, we open our life to dark powers that will trap us. So if discouragement is not sin, then we're opening a door. We need to see what it is. Discouragement comes because I think wrong. See, brothers, if we think right, we'll go right. If we think wrong, we'll go wrong. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, it's really how I think. It's wrong thinking that takes us wrong ways. Why is that person not saved? You know why? He's not thinking right. If he would start thinking to think right, he would go right. Let me just tell you one mistake that people make when they're discouraged. Before that, let me tell you this. Never doubt in the night what God has shown you in the light. When you are in the dark, you have all kinds of things coming your way. And you can easily be veered the wrong way through that horrid experience. But never doubt in the night what God has shown you in the light. It'll take you wrong. Number one, what is wrong? I was going to share with you five mistakes discouraged people make, but I will just share with you one. They believe lies. At the base of every discouragement is a lie from Satan. God has left me. He doesn't care. Is that true? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No good will come from this. Is that true? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. There is no hope. I can't get out of this. Is that true? That's what takes us down. Hope is an anchor, remember. Hope is an anchor for your tossed ship. You need an anchor. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All things. But what about this? No, the Word of God says all things. Even my situation, there is hope for me. God is punishing me. Is that true? You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't believe that God punishes in the day of grace. He chastens, but He doesn't punish. There's a day of wrath coming when He will punish. It's a concentration of His wrath. It'll be a horrible day. for those that will experience it. Because it's not just the one thing. It's the backup of concentration of terrible wrath that God has against ungodliness and wickedness. But you and I are in a day of grace. And in this day, He keeps calling us, chastening us. See, His purpose is not to destroy us, but to bring us, to reduce us until He can use us. I want to take you, in our final minutes here, I want to take you to a man that we can identify. Turn with me to 1 Kings 19. This was a man of God. A man of God. Elijah. 1 Kings 19. I want to look at his story. I want you to see this man of God. This powerful prophet of God. And oh, I wish today the spirit of Elijah would be in America. I wish that spirit would again be here. And would be in our churches. Where he could call people to repentance. Oh, I long for a movement of God, even among just our Anabaptist people, where our churches and our people, we would be at church every night for revival meetings, and we would be so moved by God, so changed by God. Oh, the spirit of conviction and the spirit of repentance, the gift of God that would come down again and would revive and set our people free and would uncover the sins and darkness of our own people. I long for that holy way from God to come. Where is Elijah? Here he is. 1 Kings 19, 1 to 15. If you permit me to read this, I want you to follow. And then I'll tell you the story. And Ahab told Jezebel, well, let me just give you a background first. I think that's better. Elijah was a prophet of God. He was speaking out against the evil. There was a tremendous amount of Baal worship. There were prophets of Baal and they were getting the upper hand. And there was confusion among God's people. Who is right? What is right? Are the prophets of Baal right or is this where? Who is the true God? You know the story. Just prior, that was in chapter 18. The chapter right before this. And he was there and he said, oh, what do we do? And you know, he said, bring your prophets and let's have a show on Mount Carmel. You know what happened? They build an altar. You go ahead and you build your altar and you put your sacrifice or your offering on there and you call on your God and we're going to see who is the true God. And they did and they called on their God and they called and they called and they called. And you know what? There was no answer and they kept calling and calling. I think they called until evening or close to evening. They were calling and there was no answer. Their God was dead. He finally said, maybe He's far away. But you know, no fire came from heaven. And then Elijah repaired the altar. Beautiful message in that point. That's a whole sermon of its own. Repairing the altar before the fire comes from heaven. I think that's why we have no fire in our churches. We have not repaired our altar. We need to repair the altar. He repaired the altar. And in a simple way, he prayed, oh God, show for your glory and for your sake who is the true God. And the fire came down and burned up the sacrifice and the stones and licked up the water and everything. And it was clear and the people said, He is the true God. He is the true God. Coming right from that beautiful, he said, let's take the prophets of Baal. I think there were 400 of them. Go kill them. Destroy them. And they did and they killed them. Tremendous victory. Tremendous glory. Look at what God did through Elijah. A victory that you and I might never have seen. Such a tremendous movement of God. From that, he said, and you know, Elijah had prayed and he said, let it not rain. And right after the prophets of Baal, the witchcraft, the evil, the ungodliness left, God was able to let it rain again. And he said, go tell Ahab, it's going to rain, you better get home. And there was a cloud coming. And you know, they barely got home before the cloud burst. And now, from that wonderful work of God on Mount Carmel comes this this wonderful, victorious child of God that has just seen one of the most greatest miracles on planet Earth to that point. Here he comes, and now when he comes back, Ahab, the king, told his wife Jezebel about this. Look at it, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elisha had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under the juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small, still small voice. And as he was... And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here? This was the man of God that had seen one of the greatest wonders and victories in all Israel. And here he is now. Elijah had just come from this tremendous victory. Look at the scene. You know the scene. Tremendous victory. But you know, there was one thing wrong with Elijah. Let me just show you that. Elijah said, what did I say? Every discouragement, you will always find a what? A lie. You know what he said? He said, God, All these people, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that is serving you. Was that true? God said there's still 7,000, if I remember correct, that have not bowed their knees. You know what? That lie that he believed took him into discouragement. And here he is, and here he goes. Look at him. This holy prophet of God had a death threat on him. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And if I don't have you dead by tomorrow, the same this time, they can kill me. And Jezebel, that Jezebel spirit, that's a whole message in itself. But the Jezebel spirit has one hallmark about it. And that is that it is out to destroy the man of God. And if you have a Jezebel spirit in your church, and if you ever have a Jezebel spirit in your church, if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. Because that spirit is out to kill. It is out to reduce the man of God. It is out to take his life. It is out to take his ministry. It is out to take everything. That's a whole message in itself. She spoke 29 words, and this man of God went running into the wilderness. After such a tremendous spiritual power. In verse 4 it says, but he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And look what he said. And he requested before God for himself that he might die. I think of that brother that told me when we were praying. He said, you know what? The only way out of my situation is suicide. That's all he could see. This is Elijah. This is a man of God. The only way out. I'm under the juniper tree. I just want to die. Oh Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers who are already dead. He lost his fight. No desire to live anymore. Look at this man. What a position of a dark night that he was in. Coming from a beautiful, beautiful victory. You know, you have just had some beautiful victories here. Prepare yourself. Put your hope in God. Go home with courage. No fight, no desire to live, no courage. Look at verse 5. He was alone. When he was alone, you know, when we're alone, God does care. And then in verse 5, and as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, there was an angel. An angel came and touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. I don't know. He was probably there sleeping. And all of a sudden, someone shook him. And he thought, oh, they got me. They got me. They're going to kill me. Jezebel is after me. Oh, and he was afraid. But you know what? If he would have wanted to be gone, he could have just waited. Jezebel would have done it. But you know, he ran out. He ran away. They found me. But I want you to notice something. When you and I are in our dark, dark times, God will send an angel to you. He came. I don't think Elijah prepared any sandwiches. And I don't think he prepared any water. He wanted to die. But you know, God said, your journey is not over yet. He woke him up. Here it is. Elijah, here's water for you. Oh, I can just see him kind of get up. Oh, he wanted to die. You know, sometimes, this is our experience in the dark valley, the dark night of the soul. When we get there, we go to sleep finally. We rest. Maybe we're dreaming, but we're gone. And then, in the morning, all of a sudden you wake up. Oh, and then it hits you. This condition I'm in. You think of all those negative things and all those things again. That's maybe how it happened to Elijah. Oh, it was such a peaceful sleep. But here the angel woke him up. Rise up and eat. He ate. He drank. You know what he did? He flopped back under the juniper tree. The angel left. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. Elijah, here's why. Because you have a journey. Your journey is not ended yet. Let me tell you, brothers, whatever you go through, you can know one thing. When your life is finished here, God will take care of you. He'll take you home. But until then, take courage. Even if you are in a dark night, God is not going to let you suffer and be in a useless mode here the rest of your life. God will have purpose for you until you draw your last breath. And then He'll take you home. Look at Him. Maybe you have lost your fight. Maybe you have been discouraged. Maybe you are lying under the juniper tree tonight. You know, it's just... Listen to the angel. He's saying, eat. You have a journey. There's still a path I will have for you. And then the angel finally got him up. And he went. But you know what? He ended up in the cave. He went into the cave. God had an awful time with this man. Finally got him up. Out of the juniper tree. And now he's in the cave. What good is in the cave? Who will he win to God in the cave? How will there be any help in the cave? You know what? That's what we want to do. When we go through this time when rejection and whatever we face, We want to just go into the cave and hide and not see another man. God said, what are you doing here? You have a journey, my friend. Rise up. And then he got out of the cave, and then the wind started blowing. And God started manifesting Himself to him again. There was fire. There was a quake. There was a lot of noise. But let me tell you something. As we learn to know our God in the dark night of our soul, in the dark valley, we're going to learn to understand the voice. We're going to learn to recognize the voice. Sometimes we want fire. We want fire. We want action. But you know what? It was the still, small voice. God could have spoke through a tremendous earthquake. He did it for Paul and Silas, but not for this man. Not for Elijah, and He may never do it for you. Open your eyes. You have a journey. Here He is. Now, in closing, let me just say this. We can sin. Let me just share with you a little bit of the end of Elijah. Elijah was such a useful man of God that God brought another man called John the Baptist. We read about it. About this Elijah. Speaking about John the Baptist. He finally, in verse 19, he finally got back into it again. He departed. God said, right after this, God said what I shared last night. Go find Elisha. And I want you to put him in your place. And brothers, here is my concern. We can sin against God's calling in our life. Elijah had been so useful for God. But now he was so discouraged, so despondent. And God sent holy messengers from heaven. Did God ever send an angel to you? What an interest God had to get Elijah back up and going for the journey. But He just couldn't get him going. He had lost his fight. He was tired out. So He said, go get Elisha. And that's the story. When He came and He threw the mantle over Elisha. A couple things I want you to note. God didn't perform another miracle through Elijah after this. Discouragement starts a process that will remove you from your life, your ministry, maybe your life. I know a man that had been very, very discouraged about a situation, very young in his ministry, or in his young in age. Young family, had a family, a beautiful family. He was so discouraged, came to my house one time, just burned out, just into a dark, dark valley. I wept with him, prayed with him, laid hands on him. We tried to help him. We had the cruse of oil or of water for him. We had the little cakes. You know what we have? God has little cakes for us. Do you sometimes go in here and, oh, the rhemas that come out. Just the word for the moment. It's God's little cakes that He has baked for us. There he was. But you know what? Sometime later, not long after that, all of a sudden, he died suddenly. God took him away. Useful man of God. I think he's in heaven. I think he's home. But you know what? He lost his ability to keep bringing souls into the kingdom. When we get discouraged, God, be careful what you say. Because God might say, well, if I can't use you, Elijah, I have to put someone else in then. 8 years later, Elijah was one day with Elisha. And they were out there. And all of a sudden, a fiery chariot came from glory. And as it came down, Elijah was swept into the chariot. And Elisha watched him go and he went home. And he never came back. You know what? He made it home. Brothers, we can make it home. But let's allow God to speak to us in our darkness. And don't sin against your calling. Don't murmur about it. Don't complain about it when it's dark for you. It was dark for many. It's been dark for me, but God is still with us. Let's kneel and pray. Oh God, we come to You. You're the faithful One. You're the Holy One. You're the One that is so sovereign. You have planned out our journey. And sometimes, Lord, You take us into dark, dark valleys. And God, they're so dark and it's so alone there. Until You come and speak to us. Oh God, I pray. I pray, God in heaven, whatever You have in our future. Whatever we have to go through, God in heaven, I pray tonight. That You would help these brothers. Help these brothers, Lord. Show them the water at their head tonight. Show them the little cakes that You have brought from heaven. And Lord, give them courage tonight. Help them to rise up. Help them to pray through, Lord, if they're not encouraged tonight. Oh God, I pray, if we have sinned against our calling, Lord Jesus, tonight I pray, Lord, give us repentance. Help us, Lord, to repent of our discouraged heart. Help us, Lord, to be lifted up by You, O God. Help us, Lord, to not lay down our ministry. Help us, Lord, to rise up and take our ministry with deep repentance. O God, give us a repentant heart so that we can be broken and so that You can use us in the future. O God, bless these brothers. And Lord, as we depart from here, I pray that courage would always surround them and that there would always be little cakes for them. And water for them if they find themselves. Oh God, I pray that You would just lift them up for Your glory. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that our hope is in God. And whatever we face, You will help us through. We bless You. Thank You, Lord, for doing it in my own heart. Lord, You know those times that I've gone through. And Lord, You have been so faithful, but it took so long. But thank You, Jesus. Thank You for allowing me to go through those times that were difficult, so that I can somehow, God, help a brother walk through that valley himself. Oh God, we pray. We bless You. We thank You. Cover us under Your blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know tonight. I wonder if we should maybe just take this moment, this last evening, and just bow our heads and take a moment to just look at my life. Look at my life. Look at my journey. Maybe this is a night that you need to. Maybe you're under the juniper tree. You've been there when you came. Maybe you're still there and just somehow wishing things could end. I'm going to just ask you if there is someone here that would just like to pray. I think tonight we would just come up here. The long benches here are ready to be filled with those that find themselves at times in these conditions and you want to just pray. Just come and kneel there and pray. Some brother will come and pray with you and be with you. Is there someone? Do you want to do that tonight? I'm going to just open it up. God bless you, brother. Is there someone else? Mind the Spirit of God. Let's clear the journey. God bless you. Would brethren come and just be there with them and help them? This is one of those nights when we can find our way back. God bless you, brethren. Is there someone else? Might the Spirit of God tonight pray through, help them pray.